Welcome to The Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to The Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a special series of continued Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're lucky to be joined today by former defender and Northern Ireland international, Mark Clyde. Mark was at the club between 2001 and 2007 as a professional, making over 50 appearances and was also capped by his country, Northern Ireland. Mark, how are you?
Not too bad, isn't yourself?
I'm not too bad at all, and I believe we've got to give a special shout out to your wife, who's actually working at the moment at a hospital in Northern Ireland, isn't she?
Yeah, she's currently on the COVID ward in the midwife department, so she's doing overtime now at the minute, so it's a balancing act for us and the kids and work and things, but no, she's doing us all proud.
Oh, well, Mark, please, on behalf of obviously the Wolf Whistle and all the Wolf supporters that listen to it, please give her our thanks, because what she's doing is absolutely amazing. Now, Mark, before we start your best 11, you come through at a time where there was some great, great young talent coming through at the club. What was it like to come through, at the club at that time?
The club at that time was big into bringing youngsters through, and we seemed to be a part of those, probably a 3 or 4 year period where there was an awful lot of us that obviously came through and made that break into the first team, and those that didn't quite make it at Wolves went on to have very good careers at other clubs as well. So we had a real cream of young players back in the time whenever we were there, and it was just fantastic times. We were very well looked after by the club.
And from your point of view, Mark, how old was you when you made your Northern Ireland debut, and how proud was you to play for your country?
Northern Ireland debut, I think, came whenever I was still 19, maybe 20, whenever I made my full international debut. Obviously Wolves fans will know this, but obviously I had my fair share of injuries, so I'd missed out on a few games previous to that, but I was lucky enough to actually finally get the opportunity to pull on the green shirt for Northern Ireland, which is a proud moment.
Oh, absolutely, Mark, absolutely. So, in your best Wolves 11, what formation are you going to go for, Mark?
To be fair, I was thinking a bit of it last night, and I think I'll go 3-5-2.
Oh, flipping heck, 3-5-2, that's pretty much what Wolves play now, 3-5-2. So who's going to start in goal, Mark?
I think there can only be one, isn't it? It's Big Matty. Obviously Matty, similar to myself, he was played with a lot of injuries as well, bless him, but he still had a phenomenal career in terms of what he did at Wolves, and it's just a shame that he got cut short as well, but Big Matty was a mountain of a man whenever you were standing beside him, and he put you at ease whenever you played in front of him as well for crosses and things like that. But yeah, you can't look no further than Big Matty.
Oh, of course. I mean, as a defender, Mark, it's so important to have the right keeper behind you, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. We pretty much knew, obviously we still had our roles to do whenever Matty was coming for the ball, but you knew everything that came into that box. It was taking a brave person to go and compete with him, and I don't think anybody ever beat him in the air. And I think in training, I think I came across one of Matty's punches as well. I think he punched me in the face one day in training. So
that was good.
I got to the point where I decided not to challenge him myself. So Big Matty was an absolute mountain behind you. Like you said, he put everybody at ease. We played in front of him, which is a massive thing whenever you're looking at a goalkeeper.
Yeah, 100%. What a player Matt was. And once again, like yourself, Mark, a point I do want to make about yourself, Mark, is obviously you had a great career, but you could have had a much longer, prolonged career if it wasn't for injuries. And the fact that you made your Northern Ireland debut at 19 is testament to that. The fact that you broke through in the Wolves team when it was a strong, strong squad is also testament. So once again, I think you was very unlucky with injuries. I mean, you know, how hard is it as a young man to have to retire and literally go into the normal world?
Yeah, it's hard, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, it didn't affect me at all. It affected me for quite a long time, and, you know, I had quite a long time to get used to the fact, because, you know, whenever, you know, I was injured, I had quite a long time of trying to come back and playing a few games and being out of games. So, you know, we'd kind of, between myself and the physio down there, Baz, and Steve Kemp, the other physio, and then obviously the doc, we kind of had spoke on several occasions about, you know, what was the next step, etc. for me. And, you know, for a few months we had been saying that, you know, this kind of was the last straw, really. And, you know, the fact that it had never worked, you know, I kind of made the decision that, you know, I'm not one of these people that can sit there and do nothing. I have to be doing something. So, yes. You know, I kind of made the decision that I couldn't just sit and take money from the club. And, you know, I had still 4 years left in my contract, which I could have easily just sat there and collected money, but I wasn't prepared to do it for the fact that, you know, I'd been getting paid for 2 years for not really fulfilling what I was supposed to do anyway. So, you know, I made a tough decision that time was the time. And, you know, I walked away whenever, shortly after Mick had taken over. But, you know, it still affected me for a good, I'd say, 6-7 months after that, you know. And, you know, it wasn't a nice time, an easy time, but it was just one of those things. You have to dust yourself down and get on with it. So, you know, after that period of time, you know, you just have to kind of give yourself a slap and say, right, come on, yeah. The rest of your life to live here, you know. So there's worse people off than you, and you just get up and get on with it. You know, I was fortunate enough to have, you know, a decent career. You know, I did what a lot of people would only dream of doing in terms of playing, you know, for a club like Wolves in the Premiership, and then obviously for Northern Ireland as well. So,
yeah,
you know, if you put it into perspective, it was, you know, it was tough, but it was something you could accept and move on from.
Of course, and I think that's it. I think, Mark, the thing is, you know, you have been very positive about it, and that is important. But what we will do in the future, Mark, we will definitely get you, obviously, back on the podcast, because we do want to hear your full story, because it is very, very interesting. So, we've got Big Matt in goal. Who are going to be your three defenders across the back?
Well, the three defenders is one of the reasons why I went for this, because, you know, it's hard to pick from the three of them, you know, if you only pick two. But I'm going to go with the back three of Craddock, Butler and Lescott.
Jody Craddock, Paul Butler and Julian Lescott. I mean, let's go through all three. Jody Craddock, what was Jody like to play alongside?
Jody was would have been somebody I would have been quite close to at the club at the time. You know, Jody was he was just an all round great professional and a really good bloke. You know, he's the kind of salt of the earth, really, Jody is. You know, he's a lot of time for everybody, and obviously I'm sure everybody knows he's a phenomenal artist as well. But yeah. Jody was just a different class in terms of, you know, in the air. You know, I don't think I've ever came across, you know, Big Ludo. Everybody obviously says about Ludo, who was,
oh, yeah,
you know, kind of quite good in there, but you know, Jody was, in my opinion, was even better than Little in the air. You know, he's phenomenal leap on him, and the power that he gets on his headers was just different gravy. And, you know, he actually was a better footballer, and I think a lot of people gave him credit for.
Yes.
You know, so underrated in terms of on the ball. You know, very rarely did you ever see Jody, you know, give the ball away in possession as well. So, you know, no, definitely Jody had to be in there.
Yeah, yeah. What a play. I mean, testament to that 10 years at the Wolves. And once again, you've just mentioned another player now. I did a podcast with Dave Jones recently, and I asked one of his most influential players, and he actually said Paul Butler. Once again, how good was Paul Butler, Mark?
Butts was a, everybody probably looks at Butts and said he was slow. Butts wasn't that slow. You know, Butts was deceivingly, he read the game very well, and he put his body and used his body so well. And you pick things up from people that you play with and train with day in, day out, and you pick up a lot of things from people. Paul Butler, he was a hard defender, but fair and hard. And definitely never gave you any room. But definitely he was a leader as well on the pitch. There's no two ways about that. He organised things tremendously well. But Butts was just an old fashioned centre half, and he kind of deserves all the plaudits that he gets, really.
Yeah, I mean, what a player, what a strong player he was as well. So committed, once again, like Jody Craddock. And to partner these two, you've gone with Jolie and Lescott?
Yeah, I put a big Joe in there. Obviously, whenever I was at Wolves, Joe was there. And, Joe went on to have a fantastic career, with Everton, and obviously finishing his career at Man City. I know, obviously, he went down the road from the Wolves, but we'll not mention that too much. But, Joe was a fantastic player. I think everybody's seen that whenever, obviously, he was at the Wolves, and deservedly got his move to go on. But, Joe was, you don't have a career like he's had and won the things that he's won. If you're an average player, he was definitely a great player, and loved the actual playing with the ball as well. Training, he loved getting on the ball and going forward and things. So Joe was a better footballer as well than probably he got the credit for. Everybody's seen the defensive side of Joe, which was phenomenal. He was a powerful, strong man, and not much got past him, but football wise on the ball, he was a fantastic footballer as well, in terms of keeping possession and getting forward at times whenever he was allowed to. So, Joe was definitely an easy one to pick in there.
Yeah, I mean, testament to you, Mark. Once again, just going back, some of the players you, the defenders you mentioned, you played with. I mean, you played over 50 first team, games for the Wolves, and then you've got Jody Craddock, Paul Butler, Jolie and Lescott, Ludovic Pollet. So it wasn't an easy defence to break into, was it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't easy. I'm sure if you talk to Big Butts, whenever I did break into the team, I think he was breaking Dave Jones's door down at the time, I think.
That's about right.
I think there was 13-14 games in a row after, obviously, Butts was suspended and Dave didn't put him back in. So I think on one side Butts was knocking the door down for Dave to put him back in the team, and the other side he was telling me you stay in the team. That kind of shows you the kind of man he was too. He was all for the young boys and helping, but at the same time he knew he wanted to play. There was an abundance of great defenders. At Wolves at the time, or in any position at that time, we were fortunate to be part of a really good squad that eventually did get the promotion out of the league into the Premiership. So,
yes.
It was a fantastic bunch of players to be with.
Oh yeah, a great team. So you got five across the middle. I take it you're going for a left winger, a right winger, and three in midfield. Who is your left winger going to be, Mark?
Mark Kennedy.
Sparky?
Yeah, Sparky has to be in there. Sparky's left foot was just like a wand at times. Whenever he was on song, it was hard pushed to find a better left foot. In all the leagues, really, to be honest. Definitely Sparky, obviously he made his breakthrough in Liverpool, so he's definitely a fantastic player who had a lot of attributes, but that left foot was just a wand, and I think the Wolves fans will remember his left foot strike in the what do you call it, playoff final.
Yes.
To set us on the way. So that kind of was just a glimpse of what his left foot could do. He was doing that regularly in training. So
Wow. Yeah, I remember that goal very well. And he's obviously celebration into the camera. And your right winger?
That's right.
Your right winger, Mark?
Right hand side. I'm actually going to put Dennis Irwin in there.
Dennis Irwin.
It's hard not to pick an 11 from Wolves without Dennis Irwin being in there. He was He was just a phenomenal player, you know, and obviously we had him at the latter part of his career, but even still, you know, I think Dennis could have kept playing for a few years more if he really wanted to. You know, yes. He was that good. He was still in such good shape and looked after himself really well.
He did. And to be a young lad at the club at the time, to have his experience alongside you coming through must have been just amazing.
Well, it was similar to Butts, you know, and obviously Ince as well, who was there. Those three were the main three that, you know, kind of all of us young boys looked to and tried to pick things up and everything else from, you know, because they just kind of demanded that respect and that authority from everybody, and, you know, the young boys kind of looked up to them a bit and looked for that guidance, and they were more than happy to help, you know, with Dennis and, you know, the career that man had to come to Wolves and still be the first on the training pitch and the last off it, you know, that's just kind of testament to the man, really. But no, his right foot was fantastic defensively. Very, very few people ever got past him. But in saying that, you know, you could have easily put him on the left hand side, you know, his left foot was just as good as his right. So, you know, Dennis was just an all round fantastic footballer. And you know, if you didn't put Dennis Irwin in your starting 11 for Burr time, there's something wrong in my eyes.
Oh yeah, look, once again, you know, because he was a bit of a wing back, really. So, I mean, you know, that position along the right is absolutely perfect for Dennis Irwin. Who is going to be your three across the middle, Mark?
Three in the middle were pretty much the three that kind of got us the promotion the year that we went up. So it's going to be Ince, Cameron and Ray.
Wow, three great players there, by the way. I mean, we'll start with Paul Ince, who'd once again signed pretty much the same time as Dennis Irwin at the latter end of his career. But what a player he was.
He was a fantastic player. You know, Ince was just, you know, he'd done the rounds in terms of, you know, where he had played and won things that only some of us would dream of winning as well. So, you know, whenever he came in, you know, you weren't too sure, was he going to be there? You know, the face and the kind of person that everybody perceives, you know, from outside and not knowing him. But Ince was a fantastic person for a young boy coming through. You know, he wasn't too shy of telling you, and you know, whenever you're doing things wrong, but at the same time he didn't hang back in terms of praising you whenever you were doing things right, you know. And you know, I was on a couple of occasions there on both of those fronts, you know. So
on the end of a rollicking, and obviously you're on the end of it when you've done something positive.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a couple of stories. Me and MC obviously had words at times. Whenever I think one of them was in pre-season, and you know, I was, you know, whenever you're in the heat of the moment, you say something, and then you realise who it is, and then you kind of think, right, this is how's this going to play down later on, you know. But you know, fair play to him afterwards, and I went over to him and said, listen, shouldn't have said that. And he says, no, you're right. He says, but fair play to you. He says, don't do it to me. He says, do it to anybody else, but not me. And, you know, he's laughed and just went on, you know. So you kind of quickly got to know what Ince was like. You know, he was a great lad. And, you know, I've seen him a couple of times since, you know, and he's the first person to come over and say hello to, you know. So, no, Ince was a great person to have in the team. But what a leader and what a driver, you know, of a team. You know, he never give anybody a second to let up and any time we played. So, you know, Ince had to be in there in that middle of that park for that reason.
100%. And obviously alongside him, you've chose two Scotsmen. One of them, Colin Cameron.
Yeah, Cams. I think Cams was so underrated. I really do.
I agree.
Colin Cameron was a fantastic player for Wolves at the time he was there. And, you know, what... can you say about Cairns? He runs all day for you. You know, the little third man runs, as we call it. You know, he was fantastic at them. But, you know, he didn't shirk his responsibilities defensively either. You know, he was always there and always put himself on in there as well. But, you know, going forward, Cairns was fantastic. You know, he's kind of similar to maybe like Gini Wijnaldum or somebody like that these days. You know, full of energy and doesn't stop running, but so neat and tight, doesn't give the ball away and can create chances and score goals as well. So, you know, Cairns is a fantastic, fantastic player, and so underrated.
He was a real box-to-box player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, surely. He never, you know, you look at Cairns and there wasn't much to him, but, you know, he got, if there was anybody going to get down the end of something in terms of, you know, a midfielder, Cairns was one of the first people you would put up there. You know, he was always there, always in the right position. You know, he was just a fantastic player for Wolves. And, you know, whenever he didn't play, I don't think we were the same team, really, to be honest. You know, I really don't think we were the same team whenever Cairns didn't play for us on a Saturday. So I don't. So, but no, definitely Cairns had a go in there.
Brilliant. And partnering, there's three in the midfield. The final midfielder, Alex Ray, once again box to box, strong player.
Yeah, Alex again. You know, he was coming to the end of his career whenever he came to Wolves, but I think we got the best out of him. I really do. You know,
completely.
I think, you know, some of his displays in a Wolves shirt were fantastic. You know, and you know, whenever you have one of the other two maybe having an off day, you know, he definitely wouldn't be having an off day. You know, he never let anything go. You know, nothing was ever a lost cause with Al on the team. You know, and again, similar to Ince, you know, he was a driving force in there. You know, he never let anybody have a minute. He was always in people's faces, always chipping away at the referee, similar to Ince as well. But you know, he was always there. You know, if you look around, Al was always one of the first people in there whenever things got a bit tough. You know, so by far he was a fantastic player, and I really do believe that Wolves got the best out of him and whenever he was there.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the players you've picked here, Mark, are, you know, these are the players. I know that, I know people say the players you do want in your team, and you know, you've picked a great team, but who is going to get your goals? Who are going to be your two strikers, Mark?
Well, obviously this guy was there for a couple of years. Obviously I didn't ever break into the team early enough to play with him, but Dean Sturridge was there. You know, for a while, and I thought Sturridge has to play, really.
Yeah.
Sturridge was probably the most natural finisher I think we had at Wolves, really. You know, I think Sturridge was a really good goal scorer. And gave you something a wee bit different. I think his all round game was really good. I think Studge, if we had got promoted a few years earlier, I think Studge would have got us the goals we needed to get in the Premiership to stay up. I really do.
I mean, I take it you trained with Dean Sturridge and played against him in training, Mark. You know,
all the time.
I was going to say, he come from a great, great footballing family. You know, was he like he looked on the pitch? Was he tricky? Was he quick?
Yeah, he was deceivingly, you know, quick in terms of 2 or 3 yards. You know, he would drop the shoulder, or he would shift the ball 2 or 3 yards, and he'd be away. You know, and once he got 2 or 3 yards, it usually ended up, you know, with a shot on goal, or 9 times out of 10, it ended up in the back of your net, especially in around the 18-yard box. So Studge was able to shift the ball quite quickly and find the net when needed to be. You know, he was first touch, I think, was outstanding as well. I remember firing a ball on him one day in training, and I thought, shit, that's a bit hard, you know. But he just killed it, and he turned around and just nodded to me, and I thought, all right. So, you know, it was almost as if to say, yeah, that's the kind of ball I'm looking for, you know. So he knew exactly what he was good at, and you know, Studge was, I think, obviously Studge was just. we just didn't go up at the right time to get the best out of Studge. But yeah, Studge is what I felt would have got us plenty of goals if we had been there in a younger time, you know. So definitely Studge is a fantastic player.
Brilliant. And who's partnering Dean Sturridge?
Well, it was a toss-up. You know, obviously you have Kenny who was obviously in there with us, and then you had somebody who I'm going to put in there ahead of Kenny, which maybe a few people might turn their heads, but George and Da.
Okay, no, George, what a great player.
Obviously, George was obviously riddled with a few injuries as well, yeah. like a few of us, you know, throughout that time. But you know, G could turn the game on a flip of a coin. You know, I remember his goal against Leicester just kind of was just something quick that G could do at any time he really wanted to. You know, and I think if we had been able to stay fully fit for a long period of time, I think he'd have ended up becoming a legend down there. He really would have been, because he was that good.
Yes.
You know, obviously Kenny will probably be raging that I've left him out.
But, I won't be happy.
But it'll do him no harm. They take one on the chin. But yeah, no, I think G was a great player. Could get goals for fun. You know, I think most people have seen the speed and everything else, but there was a lot more to Jordan Dad than just speed. You know, his first touch, his movement and everything was fairly good. And in terms of the air, he wasn't bad either. You know, obviously people will probably say, "What did he score many goals for Wolves?" I'm not 100% sure, but you know, I'm going off if you'd have got these boys, you know, fully fit and playing regularly, that George and Da would have been hard to live with for a lot of people at any level in football.
100%. A lot of players, actually. I know Matt Murray is a sung the praise of George and Da, and as did Dave Jones in his podcast, because George obviously was a good player. Once again, like yourself, sadly, he did get a lot of injuries. So, yes, we saw the best of him. But once again, I think it was for such a short time, really, when you know, he could have spearheaded the attack into the Premier League. So who, Mark, is going to manage this great side?
Who would manage this? I think there's only going to be one in terms of my time at Wolves. It would have to be Dave Jones.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, Dave brought me, gave me the opportunity to come through into the first team, and you know, obviously, at times we didn't see eye to eye because he dropped me and put big butts back in. But I think that was more the pressure of butts was putting on him than anything else. But,
probably.
But no, Dave Jones, he was a top man as off the pitch as well as on it. You know, I never forget that. I don't know if maybe we'll keep it for another time, but I remember once that we were playing a game and he kind of put me in my place as a young kid anyway. And
brilliant.
You know, you definitely never did what I did in that game ever again. So, but yeah, no, Dave was hard, but he was fair as well, and he understood that. You know, young boys coming through, we're going to make mistakes. It was about managing those mistakes, and
yes.
And you know, he was just a fantastic person in terms of, you know, man managing. You know, the likes of myself coming through, he was a good bloke. You know, and he was a good manager, all round manager. Never took an awful lot of training sessions, but in terms of man management, I think Dave was up there with the best that he really was.
Oh yeah, and to be honest, to be fair to Dave, he wasn't scared of giving the youth a chance, was he, Mark?
No, he wasn't. You know, like, I think a couple of people I spoke to said that, you know, he had no choice but to play, and I think that's completely and utterly ludicrous. You know, I came back from Kidderminster, and Dave could have played, you know, a couple of other people, and, you know, for that one game that Butts was suspended, but he decided to stick me in as a young 19-year-old. So, you know, you've got to give him respect for that, especially in the position that Wolves were in at that current time. You know, we were underachieving, so to speak, but you know, not only do that, but then they actually say, you know what, he's staying in this team now. But you know, it takes a brave man to make that decision, and he wasn't scared of making those kind of decisions, and it didn't matter whether you were the most senior player or whether you were the new kid coming through. He was prepared to back you, but at the same time, he was prepared to to take you out of there whenever he felt that it was right to do so, which, you know, obviously we all have to obviously accept and put up with, you know. But no, Dave definitely was a fantastic manager, and still to this day he's a great fella. He really is.
Yes, he certainly is. So your team, Mark, is a 3-5-2, Matt Murray in goal. The three defenders are Jody Craddock, Paul Butler and Jolyon Lescott. On the left-hand side, we've got Mark Kennedy. On the right-hand side, Dennis Irwin. The centre of midfield is packed out by Paul Ince, Colin Cameron and Alex Ray. Your strikers, Dean Sturridge and George Rundar. And the manager, Dave Jones. I must say, Mark, that is a great team. We want to get you back on the podcast for your full story, so we'll do that in the coming weeks. So we want to hear everything that obviously you've alluded to today. And finally, Mark, I want to thank you obviously for what you've done for Wolves, and also if you can pass on the best wishes of all the Wolves fans to your wife, who's working hard in that hospital in Northern Ireland, and we really appreciate her support.
No problem, Jason. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Bye now.